You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
Question for you. Would you consider yourself a movie buff?
To some degree.
To some degree. What kind of movies do you like?
Actions, although right now I'm watching a lot of Westerns.
A lot of Westerns. So yeah. you don't go in for the chick flicks, huh?
Don't even go there.
No. Come on.
Once in a while, I'll watch one with my wife.
I mean, every now and then, you have to watch a chick flick.
I saw one yesterday.
What did you see?
The Upside of Anger.
Never heard of it.
With Kevin Costner.
Oh.
You would like it.
The Upside of who?
The Upside of Anger.
Of Anger.
Yeah.
Is that a relatively new release, or is that an old?
Pretty new. Okay. You would like it.
Okay. I have to write that down. Now, I do occasionally like to get in touch with my feminine side and watch a chick flick with my wife as well, but normally... I go for the action flicks, and like yourself, you know, I guess that's a guy thing. I don't know. But I do watch my fair share of movies, for better or for worse, and I've seen my several blockbuster videos or blockbuster movies, I'm sure that you've seen or maybe heard of at least, a lot of these types of movies that have... Oh, by the way, my name is Robbie Romeiser. This is the Career Callings radio show. And at Career Callings, our job is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. No, this is not a movie review show, but it might turn into one before the day is over. My number is 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or you can reach me by email at Robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. What I was about to say before I interrupted myself was that I have watched my fair share of those disaster movies that have that very popular theme, machines taking over the world. You ever seen those kind of movies?
Oh, yes.
Like Terminator?
First one I thought of.
Yeah, the Terminator series and the Matrix trilogy. You ever see the Matrix trilogy?
Yes. Okay. Saw that.
By the way, the Terminator, in case you didn't know, there's another Terminator movie that comes out July 1st of this year called Terminator Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen the... what do you call it? The trailers. I have seen the trailers on YouTube.
You will be in the theater, is that it?
You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is like 800 years old. He's like 800 years old, but he just can't give it up. But, it wouldn't be a Terminator movie without Arnie. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, he does say the famous line, "I'll be back." That's definitely going to be in there. And the trailer's pretty awesome. What I find fascinating, I should say, is that they found several young actors that look very, very much like the actors in the 80s and 90s movies.
Oh, really?
It's quite uncanny what they were able to find in terms of cast to make it look pretty much the same. So, not really here to talk about those movies. I am here to talk about, however, the impact of technology, like robots, for example, on the job market. You know, technology in the workplace is not a new thing. And for decades, new innovation has tended to threaten and in many cases eliminate jobs, particularly blue-collar jobs over the years. But I found it interesting over the past couple weeks. I was just randomly doing some reading about career-related stuff and ran across a few articles and some videos as well about how advancements in robotic technology have already taken some white-collar jobs as well and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. And to kind of set this up, let's listen to an excerpt from YouTube reporter Annie Gauss. And she has a commentary on YouTube called "What's the Big Deal?" And she does deal with a lot of different issues on that. But what she recently did one regarding robots in the workplace. Let's listen to that real quick. Sets up.
Is your job about to get automated? Yes, probably. It's already happening in some unexpected places. See if your occupation is safe. In an interview last week with the American Enterprise Institute, Bill Gates confirmed that, yes, the rumors are true. Robots will be taking your jobs.
Software substitution, whether it's for drivers or waiters or nurses or even, whatever it is you do.
But what occupations specifically are at risk? Well, let's take a look at where some automation is already happening. First up, you may have heard there was an earthquake in L.A. earlier this week. Breaking the story unwittingly were these anchors from KTLA.
Yep, we're having an earthquake.
But the first article published about the quake was actually generated by an algorithm from the L.A. Times, plugging in just the key facts. 4.7 quake, Monday morning, Westwood, California, 6:25 a.m., etc. That robo-article posted just a short few minutes after the quake, and the L.A. Times says that they use algorithms for homicides or other breaking news stories, and we can probably expect this trend to continue. But nothing could ever replace the pure sensitivity and emotion of human reporters, right? Some AI companies like Beyond Verbal are hoping to build the foundation to this with emotion analytics. A free app called Moody says it can read not only your words, but your feelings with what they claim to be an 80% accuracy rate. Reading emotion might be one thing, but conveying emotion is a different story. And what could possibly ever replace a human artiste, like a musician? Maybe this guitarist with 78 fingers compared to your measly 10, or a drummer with 22 arms compared to your 2. These play as part of a band called Z Machines. And it's not just an experiment. Z Machines is actually releasing an album this April, so look out for that. But moving away from the humanities, what about an autonomous mall cop that can see, hear, and even smell your suspicious behavior, predicting crime through a wide range of sensors and cameras? The Nidoscope K5 can slash crime in half in enclosed areas like malls, airports, or campuses, according to its makers, replacing 1.3 million security guards in the U.S. It's currently in beta testing through 2014 and early 2015. And don't bother trying to tip it over. If you do, it makes a very annoying sound and you'll probably get in trouble. Finally, in all seriousness though, Oxford University did do a real study on what jobs are most likely to be automated, looking at factors like social and creative intelligence and making their predictions. What did they find? The most at risk? Loan officers, followed by receptionists, paralegals, retail, and chauffeurs. Among the safest are teachers, lawyers, and unsurprisingly, priests.
I got to talk about this mall cop thing a minute ago. The mall cop that she said could actually smell your suspicious behavior. It just drew, I just had this perfect way for mall cop criminals to avoid being smelled for their suspicious behavior. You know what it is?
How would they do that?
Don't take a bath before you rob the store. Go unbathe for at least a week, and then whatever suspicious smells you have will be overridden by the tremendous BO that you are exuding from your body. So that's a way to circumvent the mall cop wannabe. All right, there you go. Well, interestingly, I found ran across an article called 14 Surprising Jobs That Robots Are Doing. And some of the things listed in this article were mentioned by Annie Gauss in her video there just a minute ago. By the way, of course, as always, I will link to her video at careercallings.net/radio. So if you'd like to see the entire report, I had to trim that up a little bit just for the sake of the program. But if you want to look at the whole thing, feel free to go to careercallings.net/radio and you can get a copy of that. 14 surprising jobs that robots are doing. Now, this shocked me, Maestro. This shocked me. There's a lot of stuff on here that I would have never considered, but let's go through some of these. Actors. There's actually a robot called the Robo-Thespian. The Robo-Thespian that can crack jokes and break out into song.
Really?
Yeah, engineered by a British company. It actually has the ability, it's controlled by a tablet, so I guess you could use your iPad or whatnot to control this bad boy, but it can hold eye contact, guess a person's mood and age, break out into song, and will soon be able to walk, hop, and jump. Right now, Robo-Thespian actually gives guided tours to the public at museums, science centers, and other visitor attractions.
Well, I saw RoboCop.
I saw RoboCop as well.
Maybe,
do you like the remake, by the way? I like the remake a good bit.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And there's another movie, something about some other robot. Remember it was on wheels that kind of rolled along and had those flappy eyes? It was kind of more
Wall-E.
Of a family
Wall-E.
Type movie.
Talking about Wall-E?
Is that the one?
Yeah.
That was another one. That's recently.
Okay.
Wall-E. This is older. Because I'm an older guy.
Uh-huh.
So my kids, when they were, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was real people. You know, it wasn't a cartoon or anything like that. You would have loved it. All about a robot.
That was not ringing a bell, but I'll have to check into that and check that out. Anesthesiologists, believe it or not, anesthesiologists. There are robots now being created and trained to be anesthesiologists.
I could see that, though.
Could you see that? Yeah. Well, you know, that's a pretty high-paying job that people are going to lose to a robot.
Mm-hmm.
So only, you know, probably only low-level anesthesia at this time, but the more complicated stuff, not so much. But nonetheless, it's coming. Bellhops. There are robots that are being used as bellhops. Aloft Hotel in Cupertino, California.
Wait a second. Do we have to tip the bellhop?
You know, I guess
robot?
you could bring a can of oil with you and just hand it off to him.
So I don't have to tip him. This might be a thing.
This might be a thing. Yeah. It's enhancing customer service, rather. And designed by the Silicon Valley startup Savioke, I guess is how you pronounce that thing, has camera and other sensors. It makes its way to the elevator, does its own elevator rides, makes deliveries as any bellhop would to rooms. And then after it gets done for the appropriate amount of time, it will plug itself into the recharging station for a cup of Joe, I guess you could say. Chefs, believe it or not, robots are now being created to begin chefing, if that's a real word. It's a noodle slicing robot named Foxbot can be found at Dazzling Noodles, an open kitchen restaurant chain in North China's Jiangxi province, if I pronounced that correctly. So it makes crab biscuit from scratch and has 20 motors, 24 joints, and 129 sensors. Interesting. And it can complete even the complicated dish of crab biscuit in 30 minutes and even puts it on the plate for you. Financial analysts. Yeah, we heard about that. You know, things like loan officers and financial analysts. So you might have a robot helping you decide what your investment portfolio is going to be. I can't wait to tell you about jockeys. But before we get to jockeys, we have to take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about camel jockeys. And with that visual in your brain, go get your bonbons and your bunny slippers and come back for the second half of Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser.
We got possibly bomb-sniffing elephants. Hard to get them into an airport, though. Now, I'm telling you, this is a match made in heaven. You know, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey, they're phasing out the elephants, so we'll have the elephants now at airports. So you're coming into some elephants, you know, sniffing all over you. Yeah. Huh? I think it's a plane.
The Phil Valentine Show, Saturday evenings at 6 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures. There's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
Sticky Fingers Rib House serves the best St. Louis-style ribs, pulled pork barbecue, and wings, all slow-smoked on site. Established in 1992 in Mount Pleasant, they now have 15 locations throughout the Southeast, including downtown Greenville. Their signature barbecue sauces are served daily, along with their homemade starters, sides, and desserts. They'll also deliver lunch to your office staff, or you can call Lacey Smith at 297-7200 to cater your next special event. Sticky Fingers, get sticky, have fun.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
We all know Goodwill, but did you know when you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
Check us out online at christiantalk660.com.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Cannot wait to talk about camel jockeys. But before I talk about camel jockeys, let me just welcome you back to the Career Callings Radio Show. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and you can join the program today at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now, we were talking in the first segment about robots taking more and more jobs. Of course, for years, for decades now, robots have taken a lot of blue-collar jobs, but robots are beginning to take a lot of white-collar jobs as well. And we went through several of those before the segment ended. Now, let's just pick up where we left off. We were about to talk about camel jockeys. I had no idea that camel racing was such a big thing in the Middle East. But apparently camel racing has been around for centuries. It's one of the oldest traditions in the Middle East. And for years and years and years, children have been used as camel jockeys, even children as young as ages 2 and 3 years of age. So I don't know what they do. I guess they just strap the kids on there and hope for dear life they don't fall off. But it was outlawed in Dubai, the use of such young kids, back in 2002. And since 2003, robot jockeys have been used. And they were cumbersome and heavy a decade ago, but today the remote control robots, which even look like little jockeys, weigh only a few pounds, and they do a whole lot better, if I can say it that way, than they did when they first came out. Could you imagine being a camel and wondering what in the world this piece of metal is on the back of your between your humps? Musicians, we talked about in the video from Annie Gauss in the first segment. Musicians are indeed. There's a band called Z Machines, which she referenced, which is a 3-piece band, and they have a total of 78 fingers, 22 arms, and a surprisingly human sound. Now, I'll tell you that the little clip that we heard in the first segment, I didn't care for that music too much, but I guess you could call it music if you wanted to. Receptionists and retail folks were also mentioned by Annie Gauss, and there's a lot more of that happening, particularly in Japan. There's a lot of folks, a lot of robot receptionists, and also some robot retailers. Reporters are becoming, at least in some cases, the simple stories are being written by robot algorithms, if I can say it that way. And we heard about from Annie Gauss the earthquake that happened many months ago when she recorded that video being reported by that. Security guards like mall cops, we talked about. Soldiers. Now, soldiers, I really hadn't thought about this, but this makes a lot of sense. The U.S. Army, for example, has been using a robot, at least one type of robot, called a Talon robot. Talon spelled T-A-L-O-N, and it's designed for rugged platforms, and it's designed to clear live grenades and also give attention to a variety of other tasks. And they've been around since the year 2000. So as you can imagine, some people envision that within 30 or 40 years, robots can replace maybe up to one-fourth of combat soldiers and actually go into combat force. Now, this one was surprising. Robot surgeons. Surgeons already use automated systems to assist with low-invasive procedures, but soon enough, robots could actually be equipped to complete certain surgeries completely on their own. And according to this article, robot surgery would mean fewer complications, less pain and blood loss, quicker recovery, and less noticeable scars. That's assuming, of course, that the robot does not come down with a computer virus while it's cutting on you. That would be a bad day. Waiters also. There are robot waiters in China and Japan, and that kind of wraps up some of the white-collar jobs. And I think, you know, if you're a robot scientist or a robotics person, the sky's the limit. You could come up with any kind of number of uses. And some of those folks actually talk about the day when humans won't have to work at all and robots would be doing everything. Now, I hear that. That's very science fiction, and I'm sure that there will come a time when more and more jobs are done by robots. But I don't think it's worth being an alarmist about. I mean, just think about this. I mean, robots have been around in manufacturing for decades now. And BMW manufacturing, of course, has been in the upstate of South Carolina for over 20 years. And they have tons of robots in their facility. But guess what? They also employ 10,000 people, plus or minus. So even with robots in that field and that type of work, with robots have been around for decades now, there's still going to be a need for people. But does that, you know, change is inevitable, though. There are going to be times when robots might take your job, might take my job. And change is going to come. Technology is going to advance. And we need to embrace the fact that where we are today in our workplace may or may not be where God will have us in 5 years, 10 years, or whatnot. Circumstances might change, whether it be from robotics or some other set of circumstances. God might move us in a different direction, might actually end our job, forcing us into a place where we have to do something totally different from what we've known for years, maybe even decades. And that's scary for a lot of people, and I understand that. Some people do thrive on change. Most people don't care for it too much. But oftentimes, especially for the Christian who puts his or her trust in the good Lord above to order our steps. I mean, the Bible says in many places that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord will take care of his people. There are plenty of instances where people have suffered change unwittingly, undesirably, and have found out that God was actually doing them a favor by ripping something out from under them. A couple of examples, for example, my mother years ago. She had worked for more than 20 years at one particular location, and she was let go. After that amount of time, a larger corporation had purchased the smaller firm that she had worked for, smaller family-owned firm, and she was let go, and she was without work for a short time. Really wasn't that long, maybe a month or two, which sounds like a long time, but I guess compared to what people had to go through over the past several years, wasn't that big of a deal. This happened long before the economy went bad in 2007, 2008. Well, after she found her new job, it was the best place she'd ever worked before. She was so happy. The workplace was fantastic. The pay was better than it was before. The people were fantastic, and she just absolutely loved her job. Another example I want to give you is a friend of mine that I go to church with. He was unhappy at work. He'd been in a particular location for some years, and some changes had occurred, and he wasn't terribly happy, and he had been praying about maybe the Lord's will and moving him somewhere else, and he'd been praying with his wife over that. And not long ago, he got a phone call from a recruiter that was on the other line, and that recruiter invited him to interview at another company. And during that interview process, he was asked about his desired salary range. And he gave his high number, he gave his low number, the interview ended, and he went home. He didn't really feel like things had gone all that great. But within a short amount of time, he received a job offer from that company, and the offered salary was about $2,000 less than the high end of the salary range he had proposed. But here's the kicker. The job offer included a $2,000 signing bonus, making his first year compensation exactly what he had asked for on the high end. So he started his new job a few weeks ago and is very, very content there so far. So circumstances coupled with prayer, counsel from trusted friends, and heart peace from God made it obvious to my friend and to his wife that the Lord was actually absolutely directing him to a new workplace. And many of us wish God would make his will for us equally apparent. And, you know, the funny thing is, he does. Here's a little secret. He does make his will apparent. God is not ambiguous about his will for our lives. I mean, let me ask you just a rhetorical question. Was God ever unclear about his will in the Bible? Did any of the people he talked to ever wonder what he wanted him to do? No. The confusion is our fault. What I want to share with you is four different things that we allow into our lives that confuse our understanding of God's will for our lives. Number one, if we're not living holy lives, it will make us incapable of understanding his will. Romans 12:2 points it out. Many other Bible verses do as well. If we live unholy lives, if we allow sin into our lives, allow the sin to cloud our judgment, we get detached from a relationship with the Lord, and we get detached from the wisdom that he provides to us through his word and through prayer. I've seen it in my own life. I'm sure you have as well. When you're living the way the Lord wants you to live, you feel much more in tune with him, and things are much clearer in your mind and in your heart. And if you don't, they're not. Failing to be in constant communion with him, making us incapable of discerning his will. Joshua 1:8 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have it memorized like I should. I just know where it is in the Bible, and I can go read it anytime I want to. But basically, constantly meditate on the Word of God, and you'll have wisdom and understanding and success in your life. Success as God defines it, not necessarily as the world defines it. And if we don't bury ourselves in the Word of God and in prayer, we, again, detach ourselves from that wisdom that only comes from a constant communion with him. Understanding his will but refusing to accept it. Now, that happens a lot. You know, one of my favorite passages is Jeremiah 42 and 43. Israel had just been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. There was a small remnant left in Israel. They went to Jeremiah and said, "Hey, Jeremiah, can you go ask God what he wants us to do? And whatever he tells you, we'll do." So Jeremiah goes to God. God says, "I know what these guys did. They sent you to ask for my will, but here's the plan. They've already planned to go to Egypt, and they want me to bless it. You go back to them, Jeremiah, and tell them, you stay put in Israel, and Nebuchadnezzar will treat you well. You go down to Egypt, and I'm going to send him after you, and he's going to destroy Egypt and destroy you." Jeremiah goes back, tells the remnant this. The remnant says, "You're not telling us what God wants us to do. He wants us to go to Egypt." And lo and behold, the remnant went down to Egypt, and they were destroyed. So a lot of times we get confused, not because God is not telling us what he wants us to do. It's because we have our own plans, and we don't want to accept what he wants us to do. And lastly, recognizing God's will, accepting it, but not waiting on the Lord's timing. A lot of times we do understand his will, we accept it, but we don't wait for his timing. Moses was 40 years old when he tried to be the Savior for Israel. He killed an Egyptian on his own, and that ended up banishing him for 40 years in the wilderness until he learned humility and God's timing to wait on the Lord to do the delivering rather than Moses to try to take it into his own hands to do. And that's from Exodus chapter 2. Where he killed the Egyptian. In Exodus 3 and 4 talks about how God calls him to become the deliverer for his people. All right, that wraps up another edition of Career Callings. Feel free to join us at careercallings.net/radio for links to these articles and videos, and also for a copy of today's radio program, free podcast, there waiting for you. Hope you had a great time today, and certainly, if you don't know what value God designed for you to bring to the world, study his word, pray to him, and ask him to show you, and he will.